So we pray, Heavenly Father, we're very happy to be in this house, Lord, that you've given us to hear your word, Lord, to understand it, to hopefully arrive at that great place the ages have looked forward to be in the image of that one who was the first fruit of all. And we believe, Lord, we're a part of that tonight. We have faith to that end, O God, and we're grateful that it is your doing, the Lord building the house, that the house might not be in vain. Storms come, and let them come, but we know that whatever comes will not bring that house down, will not even cause it to be distraught, but it will stand at this end time. We commend ourselves tonight, Lord, that we may know of your truth, and we pray that it shall do us good. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Now, the other day, rather Saturday night before communion, we took on the projecting of love based on Brother Branham telling us when love projects, then divine grace takes over. We studied that for a bit, but I want to go into some more of the background of that same subject in order that you may know what this love is that has been spoken about. Now, there are several scriptures we'll read just to begin with, and one is a portion of 1 Corinthians 13 of the 8th verse, the first part, love never fails. And again in 1 Peter 4 and 8, and above all things have fervent love among yourselves, for love shall cover the multitude of sins. And again in 1 Corinthians 13, now abideth faith, hope, and love, and the greatest of these is love. And then I want to read over in the book of Matthew, the Sermon on the Mount, the 5th chapter. And it says here, beginning at 43, you have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, curse them, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you. Pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he makes his sun to shine on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and the unjust. For if you love them which love you, what reward have you? Do not even the publicans the same? And if you salute your brethren only, what do you more than others? Do not the publicans even do the same? All right, with Luke 10... we read verses 25 to 37. And on the morrow he departed. Let me see. We better start at 25. Behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he said unto him, What is written in the law? Readest thou? And he answering said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, and all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, Thou hast answered right, this do, and thou shalt live. But the questioner, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, Who is my neighbor? And Jesus answering said, A certain man went down to Jerusalem, from Jerusalem to Jericho, and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. By chance there came down a certain priest that way. When he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise, a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him, passed by on the other side. Certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took a tuppence and gave them unto the host, and said to him, Take care of him. Whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I'll repay thee. Which of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among thieves? And he said, He that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus, Then go thou and do likewise. And Romans 10:13-10 says, Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. Now, over in 1 John 3:14-17. We know that we pass from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceive we the love of God because he laid down his life for us. We ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's good and see his brother have need and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? And then back over to Galatians, the 5th chapter, and in verse 14, fourteen. For all the laws fulfill in one word, even in this: thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Now, you can see there's a pretty full coverage here, because if you love the brethren, if you love your enemies, if you love those that do you good, one another, there's nobody that's left out. There's just nobody left out. Now, these scripture verses that have been presented with the deliberate purpose of giving a humanitarian view of what love is supposed to be all about, rather than presenting them in the framework of the scripture from whence they came. Now, that's what I'm doing. I'm looking at these scriptures because these scriptures are rested by do-gooders and preachers of love who eulogize men like Gandhi and Dr. Martin Luther King, and I've got nothing against them. But there is a misuse of scriptures like this because they're not presented according to how they should be presented. And I've read them because these are the scriptures that they present a humanitarian view what is supposed to be love, rather than presenting them in the actual framework of the scripture from whence they came. Now, that doesn't mean that these scriptures aren't legitimate. These scriptures are legitimate, and we don't discard them. Now, that's what's wrong with just about everybody that preaches and everybody that's preached to. If there are certain things that have been brought to light, usually then people go so far they want to just discard what is brought to their attention in a controversial manner when it shouldn't be. You don't discard the scriptures. We keep them, but we keep them in their context. That is, we must know how and when to act according to the scripture that is presented so that you don't get fouled up. Now, to keep them in their context or framework is to study the conditions under which the actions of love were taken. And we saw lots of actions of love here. And we're told what action and love were to do. That will tell us whether it's love or not. So we get the picture. And we come up with this in Romans 12 and 9. Let love be without hypocrisy. Let love be without hypocrisy. Now that lets you know that love can be pretty hypocritical. The very thing that is we're told to manifest under the conditions that we see here in Scripture, you can come right around and have a love which is a deliberately a hypocritical love. Now, I think that's exactly what Matthew 5:46-47 is talking about. So let's go and take a look at it again. It says, for if you love them which love you, what reward have you? Do not even the publicans the same? And if you salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans the same. Now, and with that, 1 Corinthians 13 and the 13th verse, and just that first part of it, now abideth faith, hope, and love, and of course, the greatest of these is love. But I want the third verse. Read what I do want. Now, here it is. The first part. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor and have not love, it doesn't profit me anything. And yet we're told in the scripture there we got to feed those who need help. And let's go to Revelation, the 12th chapter. And the 11th verse. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. Okay? Let's go back to 1 Corinthians 13:3 again. Though I give my body to be burned and have not love, it profits me nothing. So you can see here that there can be a vastly mistaken love that's hypocritical. It's not the love that the Bible is talking of. And you can go through the same actions that the real love goes through, but it's still not the same thing. Now, it can be noticed immediately that what is simulated love is mostly, if not all, self-seeking. There's a self-seeking thing in there. It is hypocritical. To say the best of it is psychological, far more than spiritual. And never forget that every true law of psychology has to be someplace in the Bible here, because this is the only authentic book that deals with the psyche, or the suke, the soul of man. Now, there is also a zeal for God that is called love for God. And it's a terribly mistaken thing. And let's go over here to John 16. And two verses, 1 and 2. These things have I spoken unto you, that you should not be offended. I'm warning you, he said. The time come, you'll know that. Don't get offended by what happens, because I'm telling it's going to happen. They shall put you out of the synagogue. Yea, the time cometh when whosoever killeth you will think that he's doing God a service. Now, that's zeal. Now, we're warned it's going to be there. Now, this misguided love of God doesn't necessarily end in killing and persecution, but could actually end in dying for God and personal faith, and it is of no avail. So it doesn't necessarily lead you to kill people, but it could lead you to suffer and sacrifice, and doesn't do you a bit of good. So let's go to Romans 5, 6, and 8, and I think we might see something there. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commends his love toward us, in that while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. Now, you can actually, as Paul said in 1 Corinthians 13, give your body to be burned, you can be a martyr. It tells you over here, too, that you can be just as mistaken, because you might hopefully intend to prove a loyalty toward God as a part of your salvation, when your salvation has been bought and you can't do one thing for it. See? So you can be in bad shape. Now, there is very little to be gained in using our time defining what Christian love really is not. And we're looking at that, when we can get right to the basics. So we're going to get to the basics of what Christian love really is about. Where is it founded? What is the true foundation of it? So we go to 1 John 1:1-7. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we've seen with our eyes, which we've looked upon and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son Jesus Christ. And these things write unto you all, you, that your joy may be full. Now that's the family of God. Now you got to know something about your father. Now here's what you got to know about your father, because you're supposed to love your father and your mother. You're supposed to love your brothers. You can't hate. Now what is it? It tells you, this then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. The same light that rose in the east comes all the way to the west. We're talking about light, illumination, which is revelation. If we say we have fellowship with him and we walk in darkness. Did you walk outside the revelation of the Word of God? You are a liar. And there is no way you can do truth. There is no way anything will be counted to you. Give your body to be burned. Go ahead. Sacrifice everything you got. See where it's going to get you. Now, this is the primary that people don't want to listen to. See? Now, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light. Now, remember, he is the... Now, what is he in the light? That which we have seen from the... That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we saw with our eyes, looked upon, our hands handled, of the word of light. For the light was manifested, and we saw it, and bear witness, and show unto you that light, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us, which we have seen, and heard we declare unto you, that you may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father, and with his Son Jesus Christ. And if you understand this, your joy is going to be filled, full. Now what is it? God is light. In him is no darkness at all. Now if you walk in the light as he is in the light, what are we talking about? We're talking about the fact that Jesus Christ is absolutely the manifestation of the light, the revelation, the truth of Almighty God. Now, if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses from all sin. Now that tells you categorically there, concerning the basic fact of Almighty God, which is, he is a God of light. Now let's go further. We go to 1 John 4:7-10, because we've got to get these things lined up. Alright. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but he loved us, and sent his Son to be a propitiation for our sins. All right, now let's go back to John 3, the gospel. So we can put the thing together exactly as the Word of God says it. Beginning at verse 14, and Moses lift up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now notice the key to the thing. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. Now that has been categorically done. The sacrifice of propitiation, the whole thing is there. Now how do you get it? He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Now watch. This is the condemnation. Now there's a condemnation in spite of the fact of the death of Jesus Christ, the propitiation for sins, the resurrection, the high priesthood, the mediatorship, and the whole thing. There still is a condemnation, the very condemnation that the God of love, who is impersonated in this one who is love, came down and gave us all of these great things. It did not eliminate condemnation, because condemnation is still there. Now this is the condemnation. That light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Now it tells you right there, there is no such thing as loving God apart from truth. I don't care what anybody says, the man's a liar. Except for the revelation of the hour, there cannot be any such thing as love. Because God and love is the same thing and truth is the same. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light. Neither cometh to the light lest his deeds be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light that his deeds may be manifest. That they are wrought in Christ. Now you keep that in mind as we get back to King later on. Now, if we split love and truth apart, we are lost and undone liars and fit for the lake of fire. And I'm sorry, but that's the truth. Now a lot of people don't believe that. There's nobody believes it but the bride. Nobody but the bride has ever believed it, because the bride has always come out. They have never come out because of virtue. They have come out because of truth. They never came up because of adultery. They never came up because of persecution. They came up for one reason, and that was truth. Now let's understand that and get it flat. be it known. And never forget, God is light, God is love, God is spirit. Okay, let's go to John 4:24. I'm going to tell you, brother, sister, what happens. People take the pendulum of everything in this word and swing it too far every single time. They don't know how to reconcile and bring things right down the middle. Now, 4:24 says, God is a spirit, but God is love. God is truth. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Now, it tells you that. So, therefore, you've got to watch. You can't say, well, God is love, and you let it go. See, that's it. Then you might as well go to see where God is spirit. Well, hallelujah, we got all 9 gifts, and that's it. You got to divide the word right. The Holy Spirit baptism is the spirit of truth coming upon us. And that's what the scripture said. When he, the spirit of truth, has come, didn't say spirit of love, it's the spirit of truth. See? The spirit of truth has come upon us. That is the revelation, and the revelation brings love of truth. And he is the truth. I am the way, the truth, the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. So he lays it out there categorically. The great fruit of the Spirit is love. The love of God and for God in our hearts, shed there by the Holy Spirit. See? Now, love can't be love, real love, unless it is one with the Word. Now, that's the whole thing. See, there's always a plumb line. Everything has got to be judged by something. And when you judge something, there has to be specifications. And there's only one book of specifications, and that's the Word of Almighty God. Now, we can read the Scripture and see it. So I'm going to go to 1 Timothy, the 4th chapter. I beg your pardon, the 1st chapter. And read from verse 4. Neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which minister questions, rather than godly edifying, which is in faith. So do. Now the end of the commandment is love out of a pure heart, and of a good conscience, and of faith unfeigned, from which some have swerved, having turned aside unto vain jangling. Now, according to everybody, you can be a vain jangler, still have an awful lot of love, and that's going to get you someplace. You can be off the Word of God by a mile. You can still go back to Luther and Wesley and Pentecost. Oh, that's fine. Well, it's not fine. It's just not fine. Desiring to be teachers of the law, understand neither what they say nor what they affirm. But we know that the law is good if a man use it lawfully, knowing this, that the law is not made for righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly, for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murders of fathers, murders of mothers, and manslayers, for whoremongers, them that defile themselves in mankind, men stealers, for liars, for perjured persons, if any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine. According to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which committed what was committed to my trust. Now look, you can bypass all of that stuff because you've got a glorious gospel. Now that's where you start. From there on, you'll go to your love. And notice what it says here, the end of the commandment is love out of a pure heart. So the end of the gospel. The end of the gospel will have love out of a pure heart, which means your love will be based entirely and consistently with the Word of God. So you'll end up doing what love really is. Now, I thank the Lord Jesus Christ, I thank Jesus Christ the Lord, who has enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me in the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Jesus Christ. Now he's telling you there because faith is a revelation. So now, let's take that and go to 1 John 2:15-27. Love not the world, neither things are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that's in the world, I want to make sure I get this all right. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passes away in the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abides forever. Little children, it's the last time. And as you've heard that Antichrist shall come, even now there are many Antichrists, whereby we know it's the last time. They were not from us, but they were not of us. For if they'd been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us, but they went out that it might be made manifest they were not all of us. But you have an unction from the Holy One to know all things. I have not written unto you because you know not the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he that denied Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist, denieth the Father and the Son. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father. Let that therefore abide in you which you heard from the beginning. In that which ye have heard, if that which you have heard in the beginning shall remain in you, you shall also continue in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise he has promised us, even eternal life. These things written unto you concerning them that seduce you. But the anointing which you have received of him abides in you, and need not that any man teach you. But as the anointing teaches you all things in his truth, there is no lie. Even as it is taught you, shall abide in him. Now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, you may have confidence, not be ashamed before him at his presence. All right, with that we go to 1 John 4, 1 to 10. Beloved, bleed not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone in the world. Now, this man is talking to the family. And this family is the one that knows the truth, because they're in the truth. Just like he says in 2 John, elder, the elder of the elect lady and her children, whom I love in the truth. How can you love outside of it? See, there's a different kind of a love he's talking about. But not only I, but also all they that have known the truth, for the truth's sake which dwelleth in us and shall be with us forever. So you notice how he talks about that. Okay. The second verse of the fourth chapter. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus has come in the flesh is of God. Every spirit that confesses not Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, wherever you have heard that it should come, and even already is in the world. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. They are of the world. Therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. All right. We can keep reading like we did before. Beloved, let us love one another. Now this should begin to make you understand why Brother Branham said how that you don't click, don't clan, don't separate, but you stay together. Now understand that. You can, many people sing the song, we are all one body, not divided we. They can sing it, but that doesn't mean two bits if they got 15 different doctrines among them. It won't work. Now, everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. Notice the knowing and the loving. They go together. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. You can't separate the two. And this was manifested, the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten into the world that we might live through him. And he turns right around and said, but hold it, that's abrogated if you're not in the light. Herein is love, not that we love God, but he loved us and sent his Son to be propitiation for our sins. And what did he do next? He sent the Spirit of truth, that we might know it. All right. Now that's 1 John 4, 1 to 10. Now, we're going to keep reading. 11 to 13. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfect in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. All right. Look at that verse right there. No man has seen God at any time. That is exactly true. No man hath ever seen him. Now he's telling you here, because you haven't seen him, but you saw him manifested in the human body, and you saw what love really was, you saw what truth really was, you saw it all. This gives you to understand that God has worked out the entire precept of his life, which is love and truth, put it whichever way you want, truth and love. And also the same thing is handed down to us, so that he might be outworked in our lives. Now, let's go here. to 1 John 1, no man has seen God at any time. That's exactly right. 1 and 18. No man has seen God any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he had declared him. That's made him absolutely plain and visible by words. Now, all right. You come into the understanding that you cannot understand God in no other way than by revealed word. And then if you're against that word, you've got to be antichrist. And if you hate that word, you've got to hate God. There's just no way. And the minute that you come against the very thing that God manifests in the hour of manifestation, and you turn around and you say you love God, you are an absolute liar. Now let's get that flat. Now I'm sorry, but that's flat. That's the 8th chapter of John, the 6th chapter of John, and the 15th chapter of John. In John 15 and 24, he said, if I had not done the works of other man, did they not sin? But now they've both seen and hated both me and my Father. And anybody that comes against divine healing or the ministry of William Branham, which was programmed in order to prove the truth, which is the Word, which clearly brings God into view and says he loves God, he's a liar. And the truth is not in him, and he's going to hell. Well, I'm going to hell, one of the two. Now, let's get the thing straight. I'm sick and tired of mealy-mouthed people. Don't put their heads on the chopping block. They can talk about love, 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 and be nothing but a bunch of Pentecostals. One is hypocrisy and self-seeking, which can go plumb to inhuman murder if you get too zealous. A spirit will take you or become a spirit of you. And then you'll love God and you watch how you'll destroy. Now I know what I'm talking about. Because I got the word behind me. God is only known by revealed word. He was the living epistle to God. Only because he was the word made flesh and we likewise. Alright. Now we can see how Paul had to withstand Peter in Galatians 2:2-5. Now here's two men that's brothers. Okay. Paul says here, I went up by revelation and communicated unto them the gospel that which I preach among the Gentiles, but prior to them which are reputation, lest by any means I should run or had run in vain. It's good to check up with people where you stand. It's not wrong. Neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised. And that because of false brethren unaware brought in. Now it sounds like that, it sounds like here they tried to circumcise Titus, but he no go. Paul stood in the way. Now I want to find one place where you got to be circumcised in order to have any news of the kingdom of Almighty God. They came in proud to aspire to liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, they might bring us into bondage, to whom we gave place by subjection, no, not for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. Now Paul stood for the gospel. Now that was the love of Almighty God, because it's the truth of God. Then he stood with his brethren. Because Peter listened to Judaizers and began to bring something in the congregation that was absolutely according to the word. In other words, he made the mistake of trying to put an old patch on a new garment. That's right. You say, haven't you got it reversed? No, I haven't got it reversed. Because Peter was sold out, but he wasn't sold out all the way. He thought he could bring something over. That's what's wrong with Pentecost. In this message, you bring nothing over because every table is full of vomit. You've got to have your minds purified. You get your minds lined up, see? Now let's go 11, 14, same chapter. When Peter was come to Antioch, it was thrown in the face because he was to be blamed. For before that certain came from James, he did eat with Gentiles. When they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which of the circumcision. And the other Jews assembled likewise with him, insomuch that Barnabas was carried away to dissimulation. That's no doubt why Paul threw him out. He said, what kind of training did you get under me? He'll say, well, I want to tell you something. Paul should have been nice and easy. Because you see, God said you join those two together. I'm going to tell you something. Paul couldn't afford to be easy. Paul died for what he believed. Withstood every man in the country. But don't tell me the man didn't have love. Right? Okay, good. Now, have I cut far enough? I think so.
Oh, yeah. But when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said to Peter before them all, if you being a Jew live after the manner of Gentiles and not a Jew of the Jews, why do you compel the Gentiles to live as the Jews? So we've got two different natures. Okay. Let's go to Galatians 5, 1 to 14. Now watch. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty which Christ has made us free. And be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you, if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. He's right back to that text on circumcision. You can't bring an old patch on a new garment. You can't begin to place into the word of Almighty God for this hour the word of another hour. That's why Brother Branham said, when Moses came on the scene, or Jesus came on the scene, he didn't say, okay, now he said, let's go and float this rather. That's right. When Moses was on the scene, he didn't say, let's float this ark down the Nile, like Enoch did, Noah did. He didn't get the thing messed up. Jesus never came and got the thing messed up. John never got it messed up, and Paul never got it messed up. And this hour, you can't add this message to anything, or you have lost your foundation with God. And then what good are you at anybody else? Where's your love now to your brothers? What does it matter what you do? Give your body to be burned. Do it sincerely. Do it honestly. Give everything you got to the cause. Do it sincerely. Do it honestly. Yep. I know a Pentecostal guy. He was so sincere as a Pentecost, they taught him it's wrong to take medicine. He wouldn't even take an aspirin. He endured excruciating headaches year in and year out. And wouldn't take an aspirin. Then Brother Branham came along. He said, boys, all the misery I went through because I taught wrong. I'm going to tell you, people are going to go to the lake of fire for being taught wrong, too. Let's get that down flat. Because that's the whole thing. Why? Because that's where Satan got in, teaching wrong. He taught the woman wrong. That's how Jezebel got her power. She brought in her false priesthood, her false prophets. See? I'm going to keep reading here. Now, verse 7, you did run... No, for in Jesus Christ neither circumcision avails anything nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. Now, just a minute. What kind of love is your faith going to work by? The love of the truth. Or your faith not worth a plug nickel. Because faith is a revelation. But tell me, what is a revelation? Something's got to be there ahead of it. You got a revelation. What's your revelation of? Well, I just got a revelation. Well, just a minute, stupid. What is your revelation of? I just got a revelation. Oh, goodbye, jerk. Kiss the idiot goodbye. Look, we're not dealing with a bunch of idiots and jugheads anymore. What was your revelation of? Truth. Word. Okay. Now your faith is going to work by that. Can't separate love and truth. The minute you do, you're messed up. It won't work. Not the way I see Scripture. Can't see it. You can't split God in all kinds of parts. Now, you did run well. Who did hinder you? You should not obey the truth. Now, it tells you right there. Watch. In circumcision avails nothing, but faith that worketh by love, you did run well. Now, you don't have it anymore. Why? Because you don't obey the truth. So, faith and love goes down the drain. You can't separate it. There's no way. A little lump leavens a whole lump. Now where are you gone to? I have confidence in you through the Lord, that you may be none otherwise minded. But he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment, whosoever he be. Now you see, what love is that? Well, Paul said, let an angel be cursed. Let anybody be cursed that touches this word. What love is that? You fool around with this stuff and put psychology in here and your own do-goodism in here, and I'll tell you. Oh, don't, look, forget it. I ain't got time for you. Just don't come around me. And I, brethren, if I preach circumcision, why do I suffer persecution? Then is the offense of the cross ceased. What offense of the cross? He said, I preach nothing but Christ and Him crucified. I preach the Messiah hanging on a cross and dead for sins. How be to preach Messiah and gave a little, then a little? That is a wonderful, Paul. You're a great guy. The minute he hit the truth, it was over. Paul, you're a scum. Now, where was Paul's love of what he taught? before he got born again. He had a zeal for God without knowledge, and he went killing people, and he had a love. Let's go back and read what Paul said over here in Philippians. Let's find out just what can go on in people's hearts and minds until they're put right. Now he says here, in the third chapter of Philippians, though I might have confidence in the flesh, if any man thinketh thee as whereof he might trust in the flesh, I am more circumcised the 8th day. There's the circumcision. Of the stock of Israel, tribe of Benjamin, Hebrew to Hebrew, touching the law of Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. Ha! Well, he had a very convenient religion. What did he do? Wash his pots and pans or wash his face or something? Then go out and kill. Boy, he had a setup, didn't he? Let's read back in Galatians here again. 5th chapter. I would they were even cut off, which trouble you. That is, they'd be castrated, no seed. What it really means, their mouth sewed up or the heads chopped off. For brethren, you have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. Now that word love is in there again. See? For all the laws fulfilled in one word, even this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Who's your neighbor? The man that did you good. The man was helpful. See? Okay, we must realize that all the while the whole church world talks about the love of God, it is going straight to the Antichrist. Let's go to 2 Thessalonians 2. 2nd chapter, 7 to 12. For the mystery niggers already work, only he that letteth will let or allow to be taken out of the way, or prevent rather. Then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume in the spirit of his mouth, and destroy the brightness of his presence. Even in his presence is after the working of Satan with all power, signs, and lying wonder. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send a strong delusion, they should believe the lie, that the all might be damned who believe not the truth, that pleasure and righteousness. Now you can see right here, the truth supersedes love. That you haven't got a clue about anything until you have truth. Until you have a revelation. You simply don't have a clue. And it says at the end time, they positively believe the lie because they turned down the truth. And there is no love of the word in them, there is no love of the truth in them, and consequently they will do the will of Satan, which is not necessarily mass murder, but every trick in the book of seduction to bring the people in. They won't even know they're in us till it's too late. You can't have a better church than the Roman Catholic Church for that one. You can even pay for your sins ahead of time. Pay an indulgence. And it's love, it's fine. Got enough money, you can buy an annulment to your marriage. Let's go to 1 John 3:11-13. I want to weave the scripture back and forth to see some of these things. 1 John 3:11-13. For this is the message you heard in the beginning, that we should love one another, not as Cain, who was of the wicked one and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own words are evil and his brother's righteous. Marvel not, my brother, if the world hate you. Now who was Cain? The world. Who was he? Serpent seed. Now he hated. Now it says right here, brother's not going to hate. Now then, the minute you find an organization hating those that pull out for the truth, they're serpent seed. I don't care what anybody says, the word of God says so. Oh, brother Baal, they're so nice people. Don't you understand Eve was seduced, not raped? Merciful God, I'll preach 1,000 more years and the people still think she was raped if such a thing happened. They'll still think that love, that this misguided love can end up in anything but total disaster. No, because they got the wrong conceptions of love. Now he said, this is a message in the beginning, that we should love one another. Just a minute, there are two messages from the beginning. One is word, and one is love. And you can't have one without the other. Or you don't know what love is. You don't know what zeal is. You don't know anything. Because there's only one way to find out about the unseen God, and that's to have somebody tell you about Him. And from there on, if you fall in love with Him, you have fallen in love with the truth. That's what the Bible says. Why was it that Cain hated this man that was his brother in a community spirit? Well, see, that's a brother. Hogwash. Don't give me that brother stuff about Cain and Abel being brothers. They didn't have the same father. Jesus wouldn't take that nonsense about him being a brother to those Pharisees. He said, I know you're Abraham's seed, but you're not his children. Because of laying election. No, oh, somebody's messed up, but we're not, by the grace of Almighty God. Let's begin to see the truth of it. Standing up for the truth. Standing up with a strong stand. Taking your stand even unto death. And defying the Antichrist forces. Brother, sister, that is not hate. That is love. Then you watch who turns on you. And pulls you down and kills you. It's not going to be the guys that are left with you. Or you got a mixed multitude that came out. There's always a mixed multitude to the final line of declension. Now, then, we might also read Titus 3. 5 to 11. And begin to see where we stand. Not by works of righteousness we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. By the, let me see, yeah, Titus 3, 5, 10. Washing and regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. All right? It tells us here very... Let's read on further. This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God may have be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. Now watch. But avoid foolish questions and genealogies and contentions and striving about the law for them problem. A man that's an heretic after the first and second admonition reject, knowing that he that is such is subverted and sinneth being condemned of himself. Now he tells you right there that you've got to check the watch. No matter how much you walk in love, there's one thing that comes ahead of every action, that's truth. God says, get rid of that guy rejected. Why? Because he's plumb off the Word of God. Now some might say, well, that's not love. Say, so you just work on that guy till you win him. Then why didn't Moses work on Pharaoh? Why didn't Jesus take time with Herod and Agrippa? They wanted to know certain things and he just passed them right on by. See? Now then, the church must be kept clean. Love does not let things slide because love is corrective. We go to Hebrews, the 12th chapter. And in there 1 to 17, wherefore seeing we're compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight, the sin that easily besets us. That's unbelief. Let us run with patience the race set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, through the joy set before him, endured the cross, despised the shame, is set down the right hand of the throne of God. Now remember, we're supposed to be set down with him in the third chapter of Revelation. Now watch. For consider him that endured such contradictions and sinners against himself, that ye be weary and faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. Now sin is unbelief. And you have, and I'll tell you, a lot, and people died for their belief. See? Now remember, Jesus said, and he caught him in a trap. For which good deed do you stone me? Oh, they said, for no good deed we love at all, but you opened your fat mouth. And you declared yourself to have a relationship to God, which we don't have, separating yourself as though you got and we don't, and we're going to kill you for that. Come on, smarten up, people. You weren't born yesterday. You weren't born in a haystack. Animals are. Oh. Sure, that's right. Now, have you forgotten? The exhortation speaks unto you unto children, my son. Despise not chastening. Whom the Lord loves, he chastens. He's got one message at the end time. Repent and get ready for chastisement. Scourge every son he receives. If you endure chastening, God deals you as sons. What son is he that whom a father doesn't train? If you're chastisement, where we're all partakers, then you're legitimate, not sons. Furthermore, we had fathers that have refreshed the corrections, great in reverence. Shall we not rather be in subjection to the Father's Spirit and live? Now, what's the great Spirit? Spirit of teaching. Spirit of truth. For they verily took pleasure, but he for our profit. In other words, they got mad us and they whooped us, but now this one, God never does things like that. No chasing of the present seems joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, after he used the peace of fruit of the Spirit, then they're exercised thereby and so on, right on down the line. All right, but watch this. The sinner can hate you because of your faithfulness to God. The old sinner Cain, and every sinner like him, will hate you because of your faithfulness to God. And you cannot correct him. You can only defend your faith and then walk in love. In other words, you don't want to do him any harm, you don't wish him any harm, and you will not do him any harm, but you stand for the way you're going or you're an idiot. You're stand up and you're counted. You don't join with him. You've got to make a separation. It doesn't mean either that he can walk all over you, whoever he is, reprobate or whatever. Paul appealed to the law. Jesus said when persecution got too hot in one city, go to another. God always had martyrs. Paul died for him, Peter died for him, Thomas died for him, Polycarp died for him, millions like Huss died for him. Let's go Hebrews 10:30-39. For you know him that has said, vengeance belongs unto me, I'll recompense of the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. It's a fearful thing to fall in the hands of the living God. But God remembers the former days in which after you're illuminated, notice you're illuminated, you endured with great fright of affliction, partly while you're made gazing stock by reproach and afflictions, and partly while you became companions them so used. Now he tells you right here, this when you got the truth is when they stepped on you. Now that shows just what love you got and what love you don't have. Now number one, the love goes to God and to his word. So you don't say, well, I'll compromise with you, dear people. Oh, I know you love the Lord like me. No, sir, if you get clobbered, you got to stand up. Now then, if you defend those that have the right to stand up for the truth, they'll clobber you. That's what old Nicodemus said. He said, just a minute, he said, our law doesn't judge a man until he gets him in court. Oh, they said, shut up, fathead, are you one with him? Now what for the truth? Well, let's understand that Satan is not gonna, he's not gonna fight you for good works. He's not gonna fight you for all this love that's out there. He won't fight you for one thing that you do outside you stand for that word. Then when you stand for that word, he'll do everything he can to make you look silly. Now, cast not away now. For you had compassion on me and my bonds and took charge of spoiling your goods, knowing in yourselves you have in heaven a better enduring substance. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which had great recompense and reward. What confidence? Your faith in your revelation. But you've got need of patience, that after you've done the will of God, you might receive the promise. What's the will of God? Stand still. Amen. For a little while he that shall come will come and not tarry. Now if the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul has no pleasure in him. Then he never was in the purpose of God if he drew back. Because it says, the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Not somebody drawing back. He said, I'll lose none. Then Paul said, proves that we're not of them that draw back unto chaos and perdition, going to hell. We're of them that believe in the saving of the soul. Okay? With that, we go to Peter. 1 Peter, the fourth chapter. First verse, for then much as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise in the same mind. For he that suffers in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no longer shall live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but the will of God. How do you know the will of God? How do you know anything except the revealed word? You talk about the word. You just can't go to the word and call it revealed. You've got to say, God, have someone that God talks to reveal it. What about those 70 Adventists out there and Armstrong and that bunch? They're plumb perverted. It's the spirit of hell. Come on, smarten up. Oh, you say, look at their great programs. Fine, they got programs, absolutely. And they'll die for it. They'll send missionaries. Look at your 2x2s. They're so cooped up, only God knows how cooped up they aren't stupid. They send them out 2x2 and said, now you can't get married. Can't have a home. What nonsense, a Roman Catholic. They talk about being born again. Oh, they read your scripture. They'll do nice things, and they'll go to hell doing it. There's a criterion somewhere down the road. The prophet laid it out. Absolutely. For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles. We walk lascivious, lust, excess of wine, revelings, banqueting, vomiting, idolaters. Well, anybody knows that you shouldn't do that except the idiots who say, well, why don't you do some of these things? What's wrong? Verse 5, who shall give account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead? For this cause was the gospel preached unto them that are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the Spirit. But the end of all things at hand, wherefore be sober, watch unto prayer. Above all things, have fervent love among yourselves, for love shall cover the multitude of sins. Now, what multitude of what sins? Unbelief? Hogwash. It's going to cover the attributes. Because you're in the flesh. I don't care how perfect you and I believe the Word of God. There's no perfection this side of the resurrection. That's what he's talking about there. But there will never be any excuse for anybody off that word. One word off of Satan's kingdom. Either believe it or shall the prophet shut up and drop dead. He's already dead. Do you think God killed him in judgment because he lied to us? If you don't think one word off of Satan's kingdom, how one word took even the whole human race out. Thou shalt not die. Thou shalt die. She put not. She said not. That was it. 6,000 years of almost hell on earth. Use hospitality one another without grudging. Hospitality, that's one thing everybody in this church ought to know right from A to Z. You say, oh, Brother Vail, I have a hard job. Well, get over your hard job. Oh, you say, I believe the message. That's fine, then do this. That's why I commend you people to learn to be good cooks, bring good things to eat for people coming in. You think that doesn't go down in God's record? I've got news for you. The very Garden of Eden. Eve looked and she said, well, it was pleasant to the eye. Put the food thing in the category of food. Sex is not the only thing pleasant to the eye. Eating and drinking pleasant to the eye. Hospitality. I've seen hospital people right there kick you out the door. I understand the preacher's wives was hospitable. Then she might know you come in and I'll forget that one. Does every man receive the gift to minister the same one another? Good stewards, the manifold grace of God. That takes in the whole world, you know or not. Now, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God, what God said, or shut up. If any man minister, do it as the ability which God has given. That's the Holy Spirit himself will take that gift and use it. That God and all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praised and men forever and ever. Think it not strange concerning the fiery trials to try you, my beloved, as though some strange thing happened to you. But rejoice in as much as your partakers of suffering in Christ, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad with exceeding joy. If you reproach for the name of Jesus, happy you, for the Spirit of glory in God rests upon you, and your part he's evil spoken of, and on their part he was spoken of, and your part he's glorified. but don't suffer as a murderer, a thief, an evil doer, a busybody, or other men's matters. If any man suffer, do it as a Christian. Now what is it? Right back to the Word. Right back to the Word. See? You just can't get away from it. However, never forget. They died for truth, which is light. For God is light, and in him is no darkness. He is the truth, and in him is no lie. Thus we set the record straight. Like Moses, we bear and forbear. But once that word is struck at, we are engaged in mortal combat, and may be struck down by Cain the serpent seed. All men who deny the word are not serpent seed. Foolish virgin don't have oil either. But they just missed the word for the hour. They don't have the Holy Spirit, they can't get it. But watch the two groups, Cain and the foolish virgin. Now, they're different. We know they are. Now, let's look at the book of Revelation. Through the church ages. And we're going to see what I'm talking about so no one here can miss it unless there's something radically wrong with this. Okay, the second chapter, 1-7. Unto the messenger, verse 2, I know your works, your labor, patience. You cannot bear them that are evil. Now, how? Thou hast tried them which say they're apostles and are not, and found them liars. Now, Brother Branham said they stood before those men and said, you're false apostles. See, that way went over like a lead balloon. They said, just a minute. Why do you call us false apostles? Because you're not saying what Paul said. Now, we've got guys running through this country, and people hate me because I raise my voice and I know the men they go to. and they make Brother Branham a false prophet. And I'm supposed to be nice to that guy. You give me one reason I should be nice to that man. I got a job to withstand him and uncover his lies. Well, you say, Brother Bear, would you help him, give him money? I would give him money to get out of town, but not to come to town. I would not give him one nickel to go out and do the work of the devil. Now, if he were starving or injured, I would help him. But I cannot shake his hand and say, God bless you. Get that fat in this church. We're too loose. We're not like people out there. I tell you, we all may go to the lake of fire. But I'll tell you, we'll have more light getting there, I believe, than the rest of them. Yeah. We'll come a lot closer to reality than what's out there. I don't believe we're going to go to the lake of fire. I think we're going to go straight to the marriage supper. Now, are you born and had patience for my name's sake, and labored and not fainted? Now listen, you bore, you had patience for my name's sake, you labored, and you didn't faint. Now, the love was toward him, because he is love, and he is truth, he is light. Now, how are you going to have any love for God, and any love for the brethren, if you don't stand with the truth? Because that's where deception is. That's where all of sin is. I said all of sin, and that's exactly right. Because sin that we view as smoking, drinking, are the attributes. Now, let's go to the 12 to 15 verses, the same book, same chapter. 13th verse, I know your works, where you dwell, even where Satan's seat is. You hold fast my name, have not denied my faith, even those days, Antipas and thy faithful martyr, who was slain where Satan dwelleth. All right? Now, this man died for what? For Christ? Only on the grounds of the Word. I have a few things against, because you have there those that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balaam to cast a stumbling stock before the children of Israel, eat things sacrificed to idols, commit fornication. Now, see, that's not the Word of God. You have them that hold the doctrine of Nicolaitans, which thing I hate. Repent, or I'll come to you quickly and fight against them with the sword in my mouth. Now he tells you. What is it that brings judgment? Anti-word. What is he judged by? Word. Okay? Now, here is my point in these two messages I've been preaching. For the first time in all our years, we are standing for a revealed word. We see it alike. We believe it. We are here to defend it, to preach it, and hopefully have the grace to die for it. That our stand and our fight is the fight of faith, and it is not a personal fight. Now, I know everything that people spread around the world is going to be, well, hey, it's a personal fight. Believe me, it is not a personal fight except for this one thing. God became a person, Satan becomes a person, and we are persons, and the truth is in us, or the truth is not. We are either the bastions of truth or the bastions of the anti-truth. That demands a showdown. Now let's understand it. In this precious plateau that we've come to, we can project love to all on a united front, one body, and no divisions. Only correcting our conduct. In the presence of the love of God, who is love, who is the Word. Now, what I'm trying to say there is this. That it's easy to take sides. And you have people taking personality sides. And that's what's entirely erroneous. If there is something that is wrong, where the Word is right, then you've got to take your stand with the Word, or you're wrong. And it doesn't have anything to do with personality. See? Now we've come to a place where we haven't been previously, which is an understanding of the Word which was not amongst us. Now, I can't say anything for any other group, and I care less. I'm only interested in us. That's why you have your sessions, and you have been doing it, where you talk the Word, where you bring your questions. And I'm available to answer any question I possibly can. Because we have a united front on the Word. See? Now, that's the only thing you stand for is the Word. The minute you make it a personality, you're wrong. Now, the person himself can be stood for only because of the Word. Now, you may say, oh, this fellow's a wonderful man. Well, go on him. Be my guest. That's your business. We got a different principle here. Our principle is this, that we fight for the Word, which means we stand for the Word, then one day the Word's going to stand for us. Now, remember that man, that fellow that came before God, Brother Brown's little message, that little illustration. Curry, his name was Daniel Carey. They couldn't find his records. And just about as soon as he was to go down to defeat, there was a voice so sweetly he heard behind him say, Father, he stood for me on earth, I'll stand for him now. Now, just a minute. Let's get that flat. That wasn't Jesus, a man, per se, that Daniel Carey liked and talked about and did so much over. It was because of that Word. Because there's Jesus Christ can excuse nobody, nobody but nobody. No way. There's got to be a judge. There's got to be, he is the judge. And that is the Word. And we saw the Word in our day. Reveal every thought and every intent. Now, I hope you see it. To stand for Christ is to stand for the Word, even unto death. The loss of friends, the loss of family, or whatever. Now, I know some may say, Brother Vail, you're really pushing it pretty hard when you talk about family. James Mayfield is hated by his relatives today. His brothers are into worldly sin, and his father still spits on that kid and wants his son Jim to be like those that are turning into bums. Jim is the one that had the brains and the money to start where the family is today, but they can't stand James Mayfield. They hate him because he believes this Word. Now, let's get this flat. That's why we take a strong stand here. He can't talk to his parents about the Word. I've got children. There's no use talking. If I slip something in, it's... Where is it? I got sisters who say they believe this message. How much? They'll never get this tape. Here's another tape that's not going on as far as I know. Be bored, but that's it. I got one sister that believes I believe right down the line. But I don't think two can be utterly weaned out of Pentecost. And so if we have conversation, we go to a blank to a place, and I slide off over here. Sure. Communication breaks down, brother, sister, and love breaks down. Everything breaks down when it comes to this Word. This is where this group, the bride, has the edge. They are the only ones who can manifest true love. Because the Scripture said, how can you say you love God whom you have not seen if you hate your brother? That's right! You can't hate your brother, because if you've got a revelation, this Word, you've seen God. Your brother has too. That's why I talk to young people. You get married, you better have the right wife. You better. Because if she doesn't love this Word, if he doesn't love this Word, you got problems. You're asking for trouble. You're not equally yoked. You're unequally yoked. The day of talking about love apart from the Word is gone. Listen, the day of talking about anything apart from revealed Word is gone. Because either we have access to the entire mystery, or William Branham's going to have to come back, or God's going to have an eighth messenger or something. That doesn't cut. The prophet said everything under the seals which the thunders were entailed in gave us rapturing faith, everything to put us there. We've got everything to stand the wiles of the devil, to stand united, to be indivisible, to be one in Christ and one with each other. It's right exactly where we stand. Listen, my brother, sister. Revelation 18 and 4 has not yet finished coming to pass. Come out of her, my people. How many times we might have to come out of God knows what, I don't know. Now I'm going to quote two things the prophet said and we're finished for tonight. Paragraph 112 in oneness. Can a man who believes in all the word of God have unity with them who just believe a part of the word of God? Well, no way. God wants separation. Now let's get to total deliverance. Total deliverance. Total deliverance, paragraph 58. Then we've got to have a man that we believe that preaches the word of God. If the man don't do it, then get somebody who does do it. That's the way we must stand. People don't like that. They say, where's the love? You want a deceiver in your pulpit? Now, what about if the deceiver doesn't get out? I'm not talking about us. I'm talking about just anybody. There's only one thing you could do. You get out. If I come to the place where I'm off the word of Almighty God, and I won't get out, and I got ways to keep in here, then you get out. For it shows you're an idiot. That all of my talk and all of your talk is just a bunch of hogwash. You say, well, I'm going to do this thing by love. Then you're way ahead of God. Because God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, and Jesus loved those sheep, He died. And yet it says, in the volume of the book it is written concerning me, it was already written. So whatever love is, as an action, which is projected, it had better be the Word. And I say, what about William Branham? He stopped those insects from biting him. There could be even the devil could do that, brother, sister. Because that wasn't the proof of very much. The bull never got up and attacked him. That doesn't need the proof of too much either. I'll tell you where the big proof was. As William Branham stood there and that demoniac came, and he said, Satan, he said, because you have tempted God, come against a servant of the Most High God, I command you to fall at my feet. And there's love for that man in Christ Jesus as he preached the word of God. Now we're getting somewhere. Yep. You can deal with nature, that's fine, but you start dealing with the human race, which has a human nature. And there's only one way that God ever dealt with anybody, this one that's called love, and that is by truth, which is that word, which is a revelation. So all I'm trying to get you people to understand why I preached what I preached on Saturday was this. I believe that we have a unanimity here, which is something we, to a degree, we haven't had previously because we stand for the same word. We stand with the same understanding. And long as you will stand with the understanding and stand with that word, the best in your heart and the best in your mind, you are not going to go too far, because all you will get into are the sins of the flesh, your weaknesses and those things. And if you're a true child of God, you'll be wanting to have them corrected. You'll be praying about them because you don't like them any better or as much as anybody else likes them. I like my bad points a whole lot less than anybody in this building. You might not believe that, but it's the truth. I believe you're in the same category. These things that you and I can get wrapped up in, that don't come from the reality of that which lies within the soul, but you've got that nature you're dealing with, which is in the flesh, to want to take it a little bit easy, a little bit soft. Little fears and those things come in. Sure, they'll come in any place, brother, sister. I'm going to tell you something. You watch the people out there that fight real truth. They always go right down the line and talk about their great love. I've been criticized by Mr. Jones. This won't go off the tape. If it does, well, don't bother me at all, because I've got his tape that said it. He said, Lee Vale ain't got any love. He said, that's his trouble. I don't have a harem either. I don't have two souls and blaspheme the word. I don't pull the stuff that he pulls off. Yeah, because I don't shoot my mouth off to make myself some seducer to congregation. You can go anytime you want, stay if you want. I talk tough. But I love all you like I've never loved any group of people in my life. And the fact that I'll stick around here shows I've got a love I never had in my life before to a group of people, because I'm always down the road. Mr. Jones and these guys can say what they want. But if I've got a manifest and wanting a 16-year-old girl to satisfy my lust, you see, you might not have much left. I might have means finding get a whole lot back with shots and things if I wanted to. I don't have any appetite for it. Not because I'm a virtuous person. But there's a love of Almighty God that says you don't defile that person. Now you say you love God, that man's a liar. Let's get this flat, brother, sister. There's something wrong with the people that'll have a minister. They preach so off the word of God, so far off the truth, and hang around him. And then pull a self-righteous act later on. I can't quote this to be the truth because I don't believe the man who said it. He said there is a tape where Brother Branham said, he said, if a real preacher leaves the word, he said, you leave him because God's already left him. I don't know that Brother Branham said it, but I can really believe that Brother Branham did say it. Sure, love is great. I believe in love. I believe in being kind. I believe in being generous. Hospitality, all these things, brother, sister, where we extend ourselves and play ourselves out and even lay down our neck for the brethren. But what good is it if you're not in the light? Because the blood of Jesus is no good if you're not in the light. Then what do you think you're going to do with your blood in your life? Come on. Now that's why it's so important to be in the truth. To stand with it and to keep standing and keep standing and keep standing in this truth. And believing that this word is going to get a hold of you. That as you stand with this word's going to stand with you. And the illumination coming more and more, you'll find what it is to really walk in love. And you know what you're going to find? You're going to find that a lot of fears you had, a lot of foibles and a lot of weaknesses you had where you maybe didn't have the gumption to stand right up and be counted. You're going to find you'll be able to go not in a spirit of hardness or a spirit of rottenness, but you'll be able to go in a meekness to talk to people, to help people, because you know yourself you haven't arrived, but you know you're standing with what is going to get you there. Remember, Brother Branham categorically said that the camels that Rebecca watered got her there to the bridegroom. All right, we're doing the same thing with that word. Now, Brother Branham's no camel. It's that word. Brother Branham said it's the wife who ministers to the husband what the husband provides. And that word was provided for a bride to minister. Let us stay with this word and understand and keep our spirits down. We're not fighting people. No way, shape, and form. They're not serpent seed. I've been told I said that certain people are serpent seed. I haven't said that. Right tonight, my message tells you, as the ones in between told you, there's a people in between who don't know. The good people that are turned aside, they're not in the election. Now, they may raise and kick their heels. Why don't we tell you something? You've got to leave them, brother, sister. You've got to leave them because the wise virgins don't have a thing to do with the foolish virgins. I'm sorry, but understand what I'm saying. See? I'm not trying to make you hard. You don't get hard this way. You soften down to understand. See, I believe I've covered everything I need to cover. To let you know this, I believe we're growing in grace. In our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I believe we're growing in love. Don't let it slip. Now, I'm going to tell you another thing. I have stuck my neck out. I have given everybody in this church a chance to rise up now. You catch what I said? You didn't understand me, did you? Once I have said this and stuck my neck out, Satan will try to use every single person from the pulpit down in this church to prove this statement wrong, that we haven't got it. So you better watch. You better watch your hospitality, your kindness, where you're pushed. You have just one thing to hold on to, precious brother, sister, tonight. That's the revealed word. And I'm banking on that word to produce everything that is to be produced in us. to give us the strength, the characters. Brother Rand said, let me find one of such character to stand still and listen to that word. To stand still in the waters of separation and be dressed. In other words, to begin to come forth according to word. I tell you, I've got faith tonight to know this. If we're not bride, there is somebody out there that's going to produce. You bet that'll walk in love. That'll walk in real love. Ministers are criticized. Oh, yeah. They get up and they defend the people by sitting maybe a deacon down. The deacons get mad. Or they bring a couple in and say, hey, you watch that kid of yours. That child's old enough now to know better. His feet's under your table. Some of the teenagers. That's what. No, I'm not talking about babies. Don't worry about babies. I can handle babies. They get old enough where they're too big for their britches, both boys and girls. The preacher hauls them in and said, look, that boy obeys in your home or you're no longer a deacon or you put him out. Oh, love wouldn't do it. And the preacher said, hold it. I'm not dealing with your boy and you. I'm dealing with the whole church. And it starts right there. Oh, people don't think that's love. That is love, because love is corrective.
Amen.
Love is a standard. There's a lot more to love than people think. It's not this wishy-washy stuff where you take psychological rules out of the Bible and use them. Let me tell you something, brother, sister. You can use love like a Christian scientist, like a Unitarian, like anybody you want, a Mohammedan, or like a Hindu, and you can bring tremendous things to pass, but it will not get you the kingdom of God. It is the blood of Jesus Christ. Coming to you by the Holy Spirit revelation. That's going to get you there. Nothing else will. So whatever then, if that's where it starts, then that's where it continues, because you can't add or take a word. You can't change a horse in midstream. The first message, brother, sister, is God is light and in him is no darkness. And if you don't believe that, you don't believe sovereignty. Yep, in the beginning was the Word. The Word is with God. The Word made flesh. And Brother Branham said that was the attributes of love made flesh from that Word. If there is a Word that is true, it'll be in a vessel, and that love of God will come, brother, sister. We've been taught wrong. Now that we're taught right, let's go on with our living. Let's rise and stand and be dismissed. Heavenly Father, we praise you again for love, mercy, and grace, your kindness unto us. Gracious Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the love of God. Shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. We don't claim to have a corner on the Lord in this place, and you know that we don't even, so we mention our own names and talk. We don't claim to have any tremendous thing within ourselves. We never have. Always we moan and bemoan the fact that we always get in the way of this, of these great impulses of the Holy Spirit, where this word would come forth in a greater way, Lord. We do moan and bemoan that fact. Forgive us, Lord. We have not here to aggrandize ourselves, but to set forth a rule that there, Lord, we believe that absolutely light and love are one and the same soul.